you haven't guessed, we are doing Thanksgiving today a little bit early because I want to do Christ the King next week. Thanksgiving is actually my personal favorite holiday. It is the only national religious holiday that we have as a country. Thanksgiving, when it was instituted and as it was practiced before it became officially instituted, it was practiced in a couple of different states, was for the purpose of setting aside a time to give thanks to God for all that God has done for us. I love it because it's not overly commercialized. It's still set as a time to get together with friends and family, to give thanks, to have good food and celebrate, and I love good food. So it's just nice. But if you noticed in the stores, we went straight from back to school supplies, straight to Halloween, and straight to Christmas. And I know in some stores, Halloween and Christmas were even overlapping. So, but even before. And Thanksgiving kind of gets left out. I mean, people are already putting up their Christmas decorations. They've taken all their Halloween stuff down, but very few people actually have like a fall wreath and they still have pumpkins out or things like that. But to me, I'm really glad. I'm glad that we have a non-overly commercialized holiday that we can set aside to focus on and really give thanks and praise to God. Thanksgiving is a time to examine our lives and name our blessings. Many of us like to think back over our year and what God has done, and it's a time for us to stop and take note of the little things that we often take for granted. This is the biblical thing to do. God's people are called again and again to give thanks. The Jewish people actually had an annual Thanksgiving celebration instituted by God. It is the Festival of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the other name for it. And part of celebrating that Thanksgiving was to recount their sacred history. They retold the old stories of God's salvation. They remembered God's covenantal promises. They recounted times of deliverance. And we join today to remember our sacred history. We sing our thanksgivings. We give to God our offerings of gratitude. And we gather to reflect and remember with gratitude what the Lord has done. Our psalm today, Psalm 105, is a historical psalm. When we looked at historical psalms in our Bible study that we had this past summer, and we saw that there are many historical songs, and there are many different purposes of historical songs. Sometimes they are written to let other nations know who God is and what God can do and what God has done. They are written to pass along the faith to the next generation. They are written to warn the people who are starting to do things that God doesn't like of God's judgment and what call the people back to repentance. They are there to confess the sins of the past. And then they are written to give praise and thanks to God and to call people to worship and praise and thanksgiving. And that's what this is. This is a Thanksgiving psalm. Psalm 105 is very similar to 1 Chronicles 16:8 through 22. So I'm going to give you some homework. You can do it today or sometime this week, which is a Thanksgiving passage. So you want to look at Psalm 105 and 1 Chronicles 16 and see what's the same and what's a little bit different. In 1 Chronicles 16, we read that this was the very first occasion, public occasion, that we know of in which David gave this psalm to Asaph and his brothers, that's the other musicians, to thank the Lord on the occasion that the Ark of the Covenant had been brought back to the tabernacle. That's the occasion where the Ark's coming back to Jerusalem, and David's dancing before the Lord with all his might, and he strips down to his underwear to dance, and then Michael is not happy about that. But and then there's parts of other psalms that follow in that what we have as Psalm 105 in the Chronicles passage. So you'll have to see which one is the expanded version. The Chronicles one is a little bit different because it's likely that Asaph helped with that version. You know, we don't just sing songs one time. We sing songs over and over again. And sometimes there are different versions of the songs, especially if you go to a concert live versus the version that you hear on the radio or on the record. Oftentimes in a live performance, the musician will change part of the lyrics to fit the audience at the time, you know, make it more participatory, and so that you can get into it. And then if there's something in David's case, may have started out more personal, and then he decided, let's give it to Asaph and the musicians and see what they can do. It was definitely something that was used repeatedly, which shows us the importance of retelling our sacred history. Our stories ought not to get old. You know, some of us, as we get older, we do tell the same stories over and over. We have different audiences that we can share them with, and that's not a bad thing. We want to remember our stories. Psalm 105 is often paired with Psalm 106. It's also a historical psalm, but this one gives thanks to God for the forgiveness of sins. So it's a different purpose, still giving thanks, but now I'm giving thanks not for your deliverance, but for that you are a merciful God and you forgive sins. Even when we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. So if you read Psalm 106, which you can do a different day for your homework, you'll see that the people did this and they messed up and God forgave them. And then the people did this and they messed up and God forgave them. Reflecting on God's goodness reminds us of how sinful we are and how great God's forgiveness is, something that was touched on in our prayer of confession this morning. Certainly, we can be thankful today for God's forgiveness of our sins, both the ones that we commit as individuals and the ones that we are part of corporately. We can be thankful that God forgives us again and again, even when we keep doing the same stupid things. So what are the stories that are told and retold? In this psalm, we have the remembering of the Abrahamic covenant. That covenant which still remains in effect to this very day, that promise that God made to Abraham is still here. In the story, we remember that God is covenant maker and covenant keeper. God is a covenant keeper because we are incapable of keeping our covenants way too often. God kept the covenant that we broke by sending Jesus, the promised seed of Abraham. We are reminded that we have been adopted into Abraham's family through Jesus Christ. Then the story flows into God's protection of the patriarchs and their families, focusing on God's protection and granting of God's people favor, emphasized in the story of Joseph and how the people came to be in Egypt. And then, of course, comes the story of Moses, including the 10 plagues and the Exodus. God's leading the people out as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That God fed the people in the wilderness with quail and provided water out of the rocks. And finally, God bringing them into the promised land. What are the stories that we need to retell? We retell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. We recount times in our family and in our church and in our personal history of God's provision and God's deliverance. Times when God granted us favor in the eyes of other people. Times when God rescued us from danger. Ways in which God's presence has been evident in our lives. Ways in which the Holy Spirit has transformed our lives. That we are not the same as we once were. Times in which we have seen or experienced miracles. We share our testimony, our personal story of how God saved us, and we rejoice in it. These sacred stories ought to motivate us and to energize us to continue to follow and obey the Lord, especially when things ahead don't look so positive. Retelling stories of God's provision in the past remind us that we need God's strength today, and that we have to rely upon God, and that the Lord can be relied upon. We can also know that God is never going to lead us where God cannot provide. We hear and tell how God has gotten us out of seemingly impossible situations. We see that God often allows us to go through difficult things precisely so we can give up our self-reliance, our self-sufficiency, and depend upon the Lord, not unlike Ray's situation in the video that we saw of God healing him of his selfish ambition. In what ways have you experienced God's blessing only by going through a time of trial? Like, it was not fun at the time, but you know that if you hadn't gone through that thing, you wouldn't have known what you know about yourself or about God or about God's provision. What's something in your life where that's occurred? If God is asking you to do something difficult, then you can look with expectancy and know that God is going to provide. You just have to wait and see how God is going to do it. Sometimes God allows us to go through difficulties so that future people will be blessed. I'm especially struck in this psalm by the emphasis of the suffering that Joseph went through. We have little details here that we don't find in Genesis, things like his feet were bruised from shackles and his neck was sore from the chain that they put on it. We see that his time in prison as he was waiting to get out really wasn't that easy. Yet in the end, we know that he told his brothers, "What you intended for evil, God meant for good." And it wasn't just the good of Joseph, but the good for all of Israel, for God's chosen people. None of those who left Egypt, except for Caleb and Joshua, were able to enter the promised land, except those who were born along the way. We know that Abraham never got to see his descendants become as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore, but the promise still exists and is still coming true. Our God is a God with a long-range plan, a long-term plan. Think about the blessings that you enjoy today because of the obedience and faithfulness of your ancestors. We just had Veterans Day last week. We know that part of the reason that we have the freedoms we have is because they were defended for us. And what blessings do you have today because of your spiritual ancestors? What sufferings did they have to endure so that you can live in peace? We might think back to those early Thanksgiving stories of the pilgrims and the other religious refugees who came here. Maybe you have some different stories in your family. These are the stories that we need to retell and remember and pass along. And when we ask why regarding the things that we suffer, we can know that even if we don't get to see the answer in this life, like Abraham, God is going to bring something good out of it. We are commanded to praise the Lord. Reflecting with praise helps us to see God's faithfulness and keeping God's promises. We come to see God's providence and allowing and using the different circumstances to help us to trust the Lord, to rely on God for protection and provision. Praise makes us more and more aware of and appreciative of God and God's works, God's personhood, God's personhood is revealed through God's deeds. Our praise and our thanksgiving serves as a witness to those who do not yet know Jesus, and it magnifies God. To what stories in your life do you keep returning again and again? And what part does God play in those stories? As the Reverend Joan Stott says, your memories are both a heritage and a blessing. As we leave today, we remember that we give thanks by our obedience to God's ways and God's laws. Obedience makes God smile upon us. It reminds us to seek God's favor, and it honors God. Our obedience is an offering of praise to God. We give thanks and praise by how we live our lives. When we realize that everything we have has been given and gifted by our good Heavenly Father, then we ought to try to desire that thing which pleases God and strive to do good works for the Lord. How different would our lives look if we saw everything as gift from God, or as God's refining us to prepare us to do great works for God? How do you respond to the goodness and faithfulness of God? I hope that in the days to come, not just this week or next week at Thanksgiving, around your Thanksgiving table, but in the coming days, that you have many opportunities to tell the stories of what God has done in you, for you, and through you. May you give thanks for the people in your past who have allowed you to be where you are today. May these stories inspire praise to God for who God is and what God has done. And may we daily practice gratitude for our blessings, which are truly beyond number. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are such a good God and worthy of our praise. We thank you for the rich heritage of faith that we have, not just the stories in Scripture, which are our stories as well, and very important to us, and we need to be reminded of them and remember them. But you also give us personal stories, stories beyond Scripture of ways that you have continued to work throughout history, throughout people, people who loved you and people who love us. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, for your provision and your protection, for those times that we've had to go through hard things only to come through so that we have more knowledge of you and we can see what you've done. God, help us to be people who readily express our praise and thanksgiving, to share with others, especially those who don't yet know you, of your goodness and your love. We thank you most of all for Jesus, the center of our story, the center of your story, and the center of our lives, who came and lived and died and rose again that we might have eternal life and be with you forever. In his name we pray. Amen.